it's time for Douglas County Real Estate Update, presented by Oregon Life Homes on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Every week we check in with Shane Mast from Oregon Life Homes, look at the world of real estate, national trends, what's happening in Douglas County, and a lot more. Shane, good morning. What would you like to cover today?
Did they say 70 degrees? What is that?
Yeah, I know. And it may be almost 80 late next week.
I saw that. Well, that does actually have an effect on real estate. It's part of why spring things start happening in the spring is longer days and more sunshine. It's not very fun to go look at property in the rain. So that is definitely real estate related. But I was going to talk a little bit about, I was looking up stats and stuff. They're pretty, it was kind of a vanilla week. The rates didn't really go anywhere. They went up just a tad. So they're in like the 6.6 range for a 30-year conventional. But we had an interesting meeting at our office this week, and we were basically talking about what we think buyers and sellers would like to know, but they're afraid to ask. About real estate. So what we came up with, number one, is how do we get paid? Like, what do we do? And what do we have to pay for? So I thought that would be an interesting conversation to go over how we do as a real estate agent. What do we pay for and what do we get paid?
Yeah, no, that'd be interesting. Tell us more about it.
Okay. So some of this might be basic for people if they've bought and sold houses before, but if they haven't, it's interesting when you first tell people this, it doesn't make sense. So we get paid as real estate agents when we close a transaction, and we're paid by the seller, not the buyer's agent. So a lot of buyer's agents think they got to come up with, you know, the money for an agent, but the seller is the one responsible for paying both agents, and they will predetermine that based on their listing contract. So when a seller decides to sell their home, an agent will give them, you know, their value. This is the percentage. And percentages of are 5 to 6% is what you're generally going to get a listing for. And so the seller is going to pay that entire 5 or 6% based on their sales price. So for easy math, if it's a $300,000 house and they're at a 6% commission, they're going to pay $18,000. I wish I got 12%, but we don't. So 6% of $300,000, $18,000 of their profit is going to go to pay their own agent and the buyer's agent. So that's split. So that's another misconception is that we get 6% per transaction. That's not the case. It's split between whatever agent brings the buyer and whatever agent lists the property.
There are probably times. Now, are there times? Here's a question I would have. Can you be representing the buyer and the seller both?
You can. That actually happens more than people know. And in certain situations, you don't want to do it. I don't want to get into the legalese part of that. But it just depends on the situation, whether or not you want to represent a buyer and a seller in a transaction. A lot of times the listing agent, if they get a buyer for their listing, will refer that to another agent just to keep the full representation for each side. So a lot of agents also, if they do both sides, will cut that commission from 6 down to 5 or even I do 4 actually. So if I do both sides, you know, the seller is going to save 1 to 2% on that listing. And the reason I do that is not because I don't think it's worth that, but it's part of what a agent pays their listing agent for is negotiation. So when you get an offer and like we look at comps, we look at all these different things to see whether or not this is a good offer. If you're doing both sides, you can't help the seller in that because it's a conflict of interest when you're representing the buyer to get the lowest price possible and representing the seller to get the highest price possible. You can't really help either one. So that's a pretty important part of what they're paying you for. And for that reason, most agents, including myself, will discount the commission if an agent is representing both sides.
So what else do we need to know that maybe we don't know about the process or how you guys get paid, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just take our $18,000 commission on this fictional $300,000 house. So if the listing agent would get 9,000 and the buyer's agent would get 9,000. At least you think that, right? What happens though when it closes is the title company will cut a $9,000 check to each of these companies' brokerages. So the brokerage gets $9,000 and then the agent themselves is going to get what's called a split. So the splits are the percentage that an agent gets versus what the brokerage gets for each of these transactions. So it could be, I'll just give our company example, 75-25 is our split. So that means the agent retains 75% and the brokerage gets 25% of that $3,000. So we would cut a check then to the agent for, what would that be, somewhere around out of that $9,000, they would get somewhere around 6,800 of that. Now, what's unique about our brokerage, and a lot of brokerages are doing this now as well, is there's another thing called a cap. So once the cap is the total amount an agent will pay a brokerage in a year. So at our company, it's $15,000. So once they've closed about six deals, they've paid us our $15,000 as the brokerage. And then they would then get 100% of that commission. But there's other things that get taken out. So there's a transaction fee that will get taken out of that. If they use a transaction coordinator, which I do, a lot of people do, that gets taken out of your commission. And then there's quite a few fees. And I'm not just, I don't think I have them all here. But an agent also has to join a local association of realtors. So in our case, that's Douglas County Association of Realtors. We got to pay them their dues. You also have to join Oregon Association of Realtors and National Association of Realtors and a local MLS. So these are all dues and fees that your agent has to pay every year just to keep their license. Even if they don't sell anything, they've got to pay those. And then there's brokerage fees. So each brokerage, ours is $50 a month. Some are 75, some are 100, but those also have to be paid by the agent. And then I'll just list off a few more. Obviously, gas is a big one. Insurance, we've got to pay for education, licensing, referral fees. So in that case, that when I was talking that a listing agent might refer a client to another buyer, that buyer also has to pay that listing agent, buyer's agent does, 25% of whatever they get. So if you refer a client to somebody else as a real estate agent, that agent pays the referee or referrer 25% of their whatever the commission ends up being. Then you got advertising, and you know those lock boxes that we have on all these houses. Those cost money and a monthly fee, and they're about $100 a piece. Then we have technology like DocuSign, Zip Forms, Canva, map applications, so phone apps to look at maps so that we can see where we're at and where property lines are, and those are just some of the expenses that your agent will have. So you think they might, you know, a lot of people think on that $300,000 house, that agent just made $18,000. But in actuality, and we haven't even begun to talk about Uncle Sam because he's going to take some money. But probably they're going to not make $18,000 on that transaction. If they do, you know, if it's split between two agents, they're probably going to make somewhere around $3,000.
Wow, big difference there. A lot to know about the world of real estate. And, of course, things are always changing as well. Just got a second left. If people want to get connected, find out more about your organization, how do they do that?
Sure. We're Oregon Life Homes, based out of Roseburg, but have offices all over the state. You can always give us a call at 541-391-4945 or just Google us online at theoregonlife.com.
All right, Shane Mast, Oregon Life Homes. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks for being on.